A speedy eviction.
He said, you need to come get your stuff out of my apartment right now.
Over a sputtering sedan.
He sold me a car that wasn't running.
Who cares? I don't care if he sold you a car and it had a birthday cake inside instead of a driver's seat. That's what you purchased.
Do they think rules...
Were you allowed to sublet the apartment?
Not legally.
...were made to be broken?
It was illegal for us to sublease, and they still wanted to sign a contract.
What, are you kidding me? Did you take their money?
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy.
Corey Barnett is suing his former landlords, Abigail Lee and Montwell Moore, for the return of rent, stolen property, the balance of a car, and punitive damages for an illegal eviction.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 388 on the calendar in the matter of Barnett versus Lee Moore.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parry's been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat, please.
This complaint is so complicated, Mr. Barnett, and has so many different parts to it. I'm going to try to make it simple for me so that I understand it. You know these people, and you had some landlord and tenant arrangement with them, which that we'll get to in a minute. But let's deal with the issue of a car that you sold to them.
Sold to Mr. Moore.
Sold to Mr. Moore. And that you claim he didn't pay you for.
That's correct.
What kind of car and when did you sell it to him?
It was 04 Infiniti G35. And the contract we had was started July 1, 17.
How much did you sell him the car for?
$2,400.
It's incorrect.
Did he take possession of the car?
Yes, ma'am, he did.
Did he give you the $2,400 one time or pay it out?
It was through payments.
Do you have a copy of the contract?
Unfortunately, I misplaced it, but I do have some text messages with him acknowledging the agreement we had.
I'd like to take a look at those.
Sure. Can I grab my phone?
Sure. So far, Mr. Moore, do you acknowledge that you and Mr. Barnett had an agreement with regard to a 2004 Infiniti to purchase it from him in the total amount of $2,400 that you would start to make payments on July 1st of 2017?
Everything is correct except for the price of the car.
And what price was it?
The blue book value of the car.
No, I didn't ask you what the blue book value was. I asked you what price you and Mr. Barnett agreed on.
It was $1,700, I believe.
Well, if you believe, that sounds tenuous. Mr. Barnett said it was $2,400.
That was the blue book value of the car. He didn't sell me the car for the blue book value. He sold me the car for $1,700. I gave him $500 down.
Okay. And you owed him, therefore, $1,200, according
yes.
to you.
Yes.
If he has something different there, he might, if he does. But so far, $1,200. And of the $1,200 that you owed him, according to you, did you pay him?
No.
Well, then you owe him $1,200.
He sold me a car that wasn't running.
Who cares? I don't care if he sold you a car and it had a birthday cake inside instead of a driver's seat. That's what you purchased. You had an opportunity to see the car.
I had an opportunity to return the car and he would not accept the car back.
Listen, he sold the car, you bought the car, you gave him $500 down, you were supposed to pay him the balance. If the car stopped running, that's not his problem.
The car didn't have any tags, it wasn't registered, he wouldn't even give me the title to get the car fixed.
Just a second, you don't need to get the title, sir, to get the car fixed. You get the title to the car when you finish paying for it.
I have something here.
I'd like to...
It's a long list, but I put it to the point where the money is shown. Excuse my screen, it's a little cracked.
Just a minute. This says, you told me you sold him the car for $2,400.
That was the final price, yes, ma'am.
He said to you, I owe you $1,900 still. I thought I made two payments of $350. And you said, yes, $700. But $19 is owed. Well, if he paid you $700, you acknowledge $700 that he paid you.
No, ma'am, that's incorrect. He gave me the initial payment on July 1 when we started, $500. He was behind in the payments. Since the car wasn't running, I gave him 1 month to get his money back together so he can get the car fixed, whatever needed to be done with it. I told him it needed a catalytic converter, which I bought.
Just a second. Is what you're telling me that you gave him a month that he didn't have to pay you?
That was for him to make the repairs on the vehicle.
Okay.
He was to start paying me after that month. So I was giving him time to get his money together that month of August to make the repairs. Then he can start paying me the rest of the amount of money that was owed.
How much money did he give you in total?
$500, July 1, 17. I haven't had a penny since.
Okay, then he owes you $1,900. He didn't pay it. I don't care what he does with the car. Okay, let's move on from money owed for rent. Now, you were subletting an apartment from them?
From Ms. Lee. It's in her name.
When did he start subletting the apartment from you?
March 1st, 2017.
For how much rent?
$7.95 a month, plus the cost of utilities, rental insurance, and cable.
Do you own the apartment?
I did not own the apartment, no, ma'am.
Were you allowed to sublet the apartment?
Not legally. Not according to the lease agreement, no, ma'am. So he was aware of the situation.
Tell me what he was aware of. It doesn't matter what he was aware of. My question is, I have to know who I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. You knew you had no right to sublet the apartment.
Right.
And you sublet the apartment anyway because you didn't get the landlord's permission to sublet to him. How much was your rent?
$7.95.
So you sublet it to him because you wanted to move elsewhere.
We did not feel safe there. I had just recently had my firstborn, and I didn't feel safe at the apartment.
You wanted somebody to take over your lease. You weren't charging them more rent. You were charging them the same as you were paying. Mm-hmm. And your lease was up when?
December 31st, 2017.
When did you leave the apartment, Mr. Barnett?
I left October 18th.
Why?
Well, an incident had occurred.
What incident?
I was at work that morning, and Mr. Moore called me on the phone while I was at work. I go to work at 6 a.m. in the morning, Texas time. He called me on the phone. He asked me, was I'm gonna leave the apartment. Me and him had some words over the phone. He was mad that I wouldn't let him out the contract because the car wasn't working or whatever case may be. He was very upset, showing in those text messages also. So he called me on the phone. He said, you need to come and get your stuff out of my apartment right now.
No, that's incorrect.
I don't want to hear you.
I never spoke to Ms. Lee about this. Me and Mr. Moore spoke the whole time.
He said, you have to come and get your stuff out of the apartment.
That's correct. He said, I'm coming over there to get your stuff out. I said, why would you come over there? I said, nothing in there is yours. You don't need to be coming over there. I'm coming over there. Hung up the phone. So I couldn't get off work right then, so I waited like maybe 2 hours. I finally got off work. I went to the apartment. There's two different stairwells to our apartment. One of the stairs is close to my door, and then there's like a hallway, and there's another staircase where the other apartment meets up. So I'm walking up the stairs. When I'm walking up there, I see Mr. Moore walking down the stairs. I see the top of his head. I know exactly what he looks like. I know this man since 1999. I know him like the back of my hand. I go in the apartment, I look around, looking. I see some stuff that's moved in there. So I'm looking for my stuff, can't find my things. I go back, run it back downstairs. I don't know what kind of car they're in. I don't know if they're hiding somewhere, whatever the case may be. So right then and there, I called the police, alerted them to what was going on. With everything that was stolen. Then I went to the apartment complex and let them know that these people had been subleasing the apartment without them knowing. I have the agreement that I signed right here with Ms. Lee and Mr. Moore. Then they both got upset because they didn't want the apartments to know that I was staying in there because that's going to go in
there. No, don't tell me what they were upset about. That calls for what's going on in their head.
While I was in the apartment office, Ms. Lee called on the phone and told the apartments to change the locks on me. They told me to go back up to the apartment to, you know, just wait, see, you know, how this is going to play out. About 30 minutes later, two of the employees from the apartment complex came and knocked on my door and told me I had 15 minutes to get everything out of the house. I didn't want to put up no fight or whatever. I didn't want to cause more trouble for myself. So I got my things and I left. And I haven't, I've spoke to them. I'm sorry.
He just told me a story about an incident that occurred on the 18th of October that is easily verifiable with the apartment complex. Do you understand? Don't shake your head. You have to say yes or no. This is a talkie.
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I don't visualize it, that he told you that he didn't want to be in the apartment anymore on the 18th of October after he had already paid you October's rent.
So what happened with November and...
Who cares?
And later today...
She was moving him around from my sister-in-law's to me sometimes.
Why?
Because I was getting these threatening emails and I was trying to protect my son from being around that.
Okay, well, that's a very good idea. Then he should go and live with his father.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Corey Barnett says former landlords Abigail Lee and Montwell Moore reneged on a car deal and then illegally evicted him. The defendants are countersuing for breach of contract.
Now, do you have a story that's different from the one he told about what happened on the 18th?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to hear it.
I got a text message from him saying that he didn't want to do it no more.
And
I
was like, he didn't want to do what anymore?
I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, the sublease. I don't want to do it anymore. And I was like,
okay,
why?
Okay, I'd like to see that text.
Let me see if I got it. I'm not sure if I have it.
Your Honor, if I may interject.
I want to see. And that would be on the 18th?
Let me check my text messages. I don't think I have any of his text messages anymore.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever call him prior to the 18th of October and tell him that you didn't want to sublease anymore?
No, ma'am. That's not correct.
I didn't think so. I absolutely believe him.
If I may, Mr. Moore and Ms. Lee did the same thing to the two individuals. After the 18th, an apartment was aware that, you know,
don't I was tell me what in, anybody was aware.
Well, the apartments, they couldn't sublease because it was illegal. It needed to be them two.
Did you sign a lease with them?
Afterwards, they did the same thing to these people. They stayed in there from October, I guess October 18th when I left.
Both parties were aware of the fact that it was illegal for us to sublease anyway, and they still wanted to sign a contract.
What, are you kidding me? Did you take their money?
No.
The apartments, we paid the apartments. Yeah. I didn't take any
money. We didn't
money
take any
anybody.
Money from
just
anyone.
Just a second. You paid the apartment with their money.
Correct, and gave
you just
keys.
A second. You paid the apartment with their money. It was an illegal act, but that's all I want to know is you went in understanding that you weren't supposed to, and you paid $7.95 a month?
It was $8, and we were under the assumption that
we
were allowed
to
be there. They made it seem like the apartment was aware of it.
Sit down. Fine.
I know who I'm
dealing with.
Yes, you do.
I know who I'm dealing with. Okay. I'm awarding you $2,500, sir, for the illegal eviction.
Thank you.
Which I believe that they actually did.
Thank you.
And they did it because Mr. Moore got his nose out of joint about the car. That's what happened.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's totally logical. I can visualize it, and I read your answer, and it's illogical, and I don't visualize it, that he told you that he didn't want to be in the apartment.
What happened with November and...
Who cares?
He paid October. He didn't pay the last 2 months.
Just a second.
He said that he was being...
Listen, sir, you're not getting it, sir, from him. Courts do not enforce illegal contracts, ever. So your counterclaim's dismissed. If he didn't pay November and December, who cares? You're not allowed to walk through that door and say to a judge, I made an illegal contract that I want you to enforce. You had a legal contract to buy his car. You didn't do it. Needed to be fixed. The car is 14 years old. So what I'm awarding him is money for your illegal eviction of him on October 18th, $2,500. I'm awarding him $1,900 for what you owe him on the car. That's $4,400. Do you understand? Your counterclaim's dismissed. We're done.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Very fair. She saw who she was dealing with.
He was well aware of the situation, and yet he still somehow got out of it.
He's a scam artist. He's done this to countless of people.
It's all bogus.
He's a con artist who can't finish the con.
There is no friendship.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of McGlynn versus Bussey. Step forward.
Matthew McGlynn is suing the mother of his child, Shaylin Bussey, for the return of child support.
Mr. McGlynn, how old is your son?
He is 12 years old.
Do you have other children?
Yes, my wife has an oldest son, who's our stepson. He's 14. And together we have a 11-year-old, and we also have a 7-year-old, and they're all boys.
And how long have you and your wife been married?
12 years.
Don't ask her. She doesn't want to be asked.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
If you were living with a couple that were friends of yours and you got pregnant by the husband, I would say that you should do everything possible to protect your 12-year-old. Doesn't sound very stable to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Matthew McGlynn says the mother of his child, Shaylin Bussey, owes for the return of child support.
Okay, how many children do you have, Miss Bussey?
Two.
How old are they, 12?
12, and I have a 9-month-old.
And who's the father of the 9-month-old?
It's a friend of mine.
Is that this gentleman?
No.
Who is this gentleman?
This is my boyfriend.
So your boyfriend is not the father of the 9-month-old?
No, he is not.
Did the boy always live with his mother?
Yes, he did, up till recently, yes.
Up until when?
Up until November is when she moved out of her house.
You were living with your son in whose house?
It was my friend that is the father of my 9-month-old and his now ex-wife.
So you were living with a couple who were friends?
Yes, I was friends with him.
And then you moved in with he and his wife?
Yes.
And how long did you live there?
I lived there, it was about a year and a half.
And I assume you left there because you were pregnant?
No, I left there because I started getting threatening emails that were threatening my life.
From his wife?
We don't know who they were from. They were in anonymous emails.
But you would assume they were from his wife.
Yeah, I'd assume, but there's been no proof.
So you moved out. Where did you go?
I moved in with my boyfriend.
He was not her boyfriend at the time.
If you're going to shout, you're going to leave. Do you understand? So you moved out of the house.
Yes.
And you moved in with the boyfriend.
Yes.
And his wife.
Now you can put her out.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You moved in with your boyfriend.
Correct.
How far away did he live from where you had been living?
Quite a ways. I moved from, it was Council Bluffs, Iowa, to like West Omaha.
Your son is 12 years old.
Yes.
What did you do about his school?
We still transported him to his school.
Is what you're telling me, you moved with your son to your boyfriend's house.
Yes.
And you took your son with you and transported him to and from school.
Yes, that is correct.
Is that correct?
To the point, I have no idea. I mean, it was a 10-day time, and I wanted him to come live with me at the time, and that seemed to be a last option. But I told her.
Just a second. You're getting ahead of yourself, because that's not what you wrote in your complaint. In your complaint, what you said was she left the boy alone. At least it was my impression that she left him at the house of this couple with whom she had been living.
No, I'm sorry. She sent him to live with some other friends of hers that.
Who?
I can't seem to remember the names. Chelsea, one of her friends.
Is that when she moved out of the house?
Besides the little time that Austin did stay with her, yes. She was moving him around from my sister-in-law's to me sometimes to her friend Chelsea.
Why?
Because I was getting these threatening emails that were threatening my life, and I was trying to protect my son from being around that.
Okay, well, that's a very good idea. Then he should go and live with his father.
Your Honor?
Shh.
I'm sorry.
Just a sec. Now, this case is all about an overpayment of child support. He came to live with his father on what date?
It was November the 18th.
And is he still there?
Yes, he is still there.
And did you receive any child support from Mr. McGlynn after November 18th?
Yes, I did.
How much?
I received it weekly from that following week until now.
Did you finally stop the order?
I did. It took some time, though.
How many weeks did you pay when your son was with you?
At least 10.
December, January, that's 8. 2 weeks in November, that's 10. Okay, that's at least 10 weeks.
Yes.
Why do you think you're entitled to that money? You were never married, right?
No, we were not.
Okay, so this is just child support that he pays.
That is correct.
Well, why do you think you're entitled to this money?
The whole reason he went with his father was I was getting these threatening emails.
I heard about the threatening emails, and then that's a very good idea, because if you were living with a couple that were friends of yours and you got pregnant by the husband and had to move out, I would say that you should do everything possible to protect your 12-year-old, and then moving out and evidently had a boyfriend at the same time, now you're with the boyfriend, doesn't sound very stable to me. Forget the threats. It doesn't sound stable. Does it sound stable to you? No.
No, you don't.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, we're only talking about why you think you're entitled to $75 a week child support when the child was living with his father.
Well, he had time to get it shut off. And it wasn't until just recently that he went ahead and did that.
The government works very, very slowly. Look at Congress. And the lower you get, the slower they work. So if you say, boys with me, could you stop the payments? Sure. Eventually they get stuck, because it comes right out of your check, I assume.
Comes right out of my check every
$750.
Week.
Judgment for the plaintiff. We're done.
You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I just wanted our own money back, and that's exactly what I got.
He had every...
He was moving around everywhere.
I took care of him. I fed him.
I had a stable home. It was pretty clear that he should come live with us.
Love my kids to death.
I hope we can just get past it.
We live in a good home. He lives with his brothers.
Get my own place.